You've said it before. This will only take a second. Just a quick glance. A fast reply. But on the road, seconds don't wait for you. They decide everything. Who stops, who doesn't, who makes it home. So next time your phone lights up, ask yourself, is this distraction worth a ticket or even a life? Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this ninth day of April 2026. And tonight we have, He's loose, folks, right there, unchained, ready to, who knows? But people ask me, are you going to rile style tonight, Pastor? Are you going to get him going? Oh. Well, what do you say, style?
I don't know. I'm waiting on the word.
All right, there you go. It's Style, our producer extraordinaire, and we've got God's mighty men in here. Mighty men in here, and that is Pastor Richard Lewis, and, well, they call him Tiny sometimes, but the elder Randy Barkley.
Good evening, everyone. Jesus is Lord.
All righty, and she's armed and dangerous, but armed with what? Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All righty, we got a lot to talk about tonight, so we're going to get started, folks. I'm calling all you prayer warriors together, a lot of things happening. We are in a situation here where our phone lines have been crashing. As you know, last night I thought people didn't love me anymore. They weren't calling. we offered to open the phone lines to take calls, and nobody was calling. And so I thought, well, they don't love me anymore. But we found out that they were calling. The phones weren't ringing. They weren't answering. The phone lines were working on. They're going to try to replace the entire system here by Monday for our pledge week. Is we got to have them replaced by pledge week.
Because they better get that.
Yes. And so they want us to help the engineers. Everybody needs all the help they can get. So we need God's help on this one, right? It's a big one, folks, because we really can't afford. We've been hit with everything, and we can't afford not to be able to have that new phone system in. You know, we lost that one full day of pledge week, and that cost us a lot. And so to continue. And there's so many things today, like we were just talking about earlier. You know, they were talking about, Rick Warren and all of those churches that he caused to bust up, to break up and broke up and we were the first ones to expose Rick Warren right here on this radio program before they became a coalition of 600 churches got together afterwards. But before they did that, okay, we were the first ones here. Noah Hutchins, we worked with Noah Hutchins And we exposed Rick Warren and the Saddleback and all of what they were doing. And they were so popular. They were all over Fox News. And he was America's pastor. Pastors were asking him to pray for him. And they were sending millions of books all over Africa, but they weren't the Bible. They were Rick Warren's 40 days, okay? Promise, whatever it was, in our purpose-driven life books and the purpose-driven church. And we were telling you folks out there, listen, this is not from God at all. This is right from the pit. And we warned people. Well, now everybody knows. But back then we were under fire. Everybody was coming at us because this was a new movement. This was a popular new movement. But we'd rather be right than popular, huh?
Yes,
right.
For sure.
Yes.
And so we're going to start tonight by asking all of you folks out there to join with us in prayer. We need your prayer. We really need your prayer. We got to continue to bring you. And this is why it's so important, because we don't compromise. We bring you things that others will not. Okay. We when it comes to being in compliance and obedience with God's word, we've been fearless. We really have. We haven't. I can honestly say, in 50 years, we've never compromised. In 50 years, we've never once compromised. We've never been bought off. You know, we haven't been perfectly right on everything, but we've never, ever sold anyone, sold God's word short at any time ever. And so, Richard, you've been with me for a long time, so you know that to be true.
Yes.
And so, let's pray. Folks out there all across the country, Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we come before you, right now, Lord, I'm encouraging all of the folks out there listening to pray, because we're in a critical, critical time now here with the phone lines there. They've been under attack, such attack, and that they're going to replace the whole new system, Father God. And so we got to have that. And, Lord, this time it's not just affecting us. This time it's affecting everybody here on the broadcasts. And it's not just this station, because it's affecting many other stations too. So, Lord, I just would ask that the folks would join in with us and petition and ask, Father God, Lord, that you would clear the way, that you would be with the folks, that we would get that new system installed, and we would not come under attack by the enemy. I mean, it's getting very old, Lord. I mean, it's just, it's all the time. It's not, now and then. It's all the time. And so, Father God, move the hearts of the people, Lord, because we definitely need their support now as we have Pledge Week next week. So, Lord, we ask this, that we can continue to bring in the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, without compromise, bringing what's important when it's important. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 All right, tonight we start in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Let's take it verse by verse, because this is so much. This is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this actually predates every other passage of Scripture. This predates Genesis. This predates creation. Mm-hmm. This was in the beginning, and was the Word. Now, that name, Word, that was a name for the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, he had over a dozen different names or titles, you might say. He was the Light. He was the Only Begotten. Mm-hmm. He was the Jesus, the Christ. He was the Lord. He was the Lamb of God. He was the Master. He was the King of Israel. He was the Son of God. He was
the One.
The Son of Man, right?
Prince of Peace.
The Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah, Prince of Peace, yeah.
Yeah, the Messiah. And the Word of God.
That's okay, right.
So he was all of those. He had all of those names. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Mm-hmm.
So people are going to say, well, how could he, if he was God, how could he be with God? And then that brings on the mystery of the Trinity, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Is it really a mystery of the Trinity? I mean,
well, the Godhead is described in the scriptures, it's really difficult sometimes for mankind to understand God Almighty. God being able to speak everything into existence, God being everywhere, God numbering the hairs on our head, all of those things that we know about God that the Bible reveals, and for us to get that concept is sometimes difficult, but that's one of the reasons why he brought Jesus Christ.
Well, absolutes are a concept that's totally contrary to the modern day. I mean, people do not like to even try to consider that they're absolutes. They don't believe in absolutes. But so if you go back when it says, it's really, in my case, not a mystery, because when he says God created man in his image as a triune being, right? So you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and he created us where we have a body, soul, and a spirit, okay? So we're triune beings, and then, of course, the family, the father, the mother, the children. But the fact that when we take a look at this here, and when we look at the Godhead, a lot of people don't understand, they miss the point that everywhere throughout the Old Testament, whenever the word Lord is used, that's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Father or the Ancient of Days or whatever is used, that's the God the Father is referring to the Father. But here, most of the places, why? Well, it's because we see the, you don't want to call it a pecking order, the marching order, if you will. God the Father gives the orders. God the Son carries them out, and the Holy Ghost provides the power. From Genesis to Revelation, same thing, okay?
So, yeah. Pastor, he also, in Colossians, I believe, clarifies that part of the mystery, which is even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah, and so here we see this from Genesis to Revelation, that in the beginning was the Word, and now some of that, the New World versions, they pervert this.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you that the Word was a God, okay? Not God, the Son, but a God. Okay, so
right.
Here as he continues, he says, in fact, so many of the New Age all pervert the gospel one way or the other.
Yeah.
Then it goes on to say, the Word was God and the Word was with God
mm-hmm.
in the very beginning. So that means at no time that God was pre-existent. Now that's kind of hard for us to grasp that there was never any period of time where God didn't exist.
Right.
He was pre-existed. And so... again, that's an absolute. The other thing, what you said, mentioned, Richard, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, for us to try to wrap our heads around unlimited power, that God's power is unlimited,
mm-hmm.
and his intelligence is unlimited. Like, you know, here he can know what people are thinking, what billions of people are thinking. You say, well, gee, I mean, how, you know, that is really...
mind-boggling to try to comprehend that.
Yeah, well, and it is, especially if you take a look at some of our congressmen, they don't know what they're thinking, okay? Right?
Right.
And yet we got God's got it, he's got it all wrapped up, don't he? Yeah.
Yes.
And we have to remember that God made time for mankind.
You're right.
So he's not controlled by time.
Mm-hmm.
He made it for us, but he's not controlled by time.
Yeah.
So he sees the future and the past. He can be in the future or the past.
Hey, you're absolutely right. So with us, we know that, like, time defines us, but God defines time. He tells time is what God says it is
mm-hmm.
and where it is. And so it says the same was in the beginning with God. So here you've got God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost all in from without end, pre-existent. All things were made by him. See, now that's a hard thing. I had a young fellow one time who wanted me to, he'd been going to Catholic seminary and wanted to call me to debate. And I said, look, Dan, I'm kind of busy right now, but I'll tell you what. If you'll agree, if in order for us to have a good argument here, a debate or conversation, we have to have a deciding factor. If we don't have a deciding factor, then it's your opinion versus mine, and we both have a lot of opinions. Do you agree with that? He said, that's true. I said, so let's make the King James Bible the deciding factor. He said, I'll agree to that. So when I took him to this passage here, it's where we started out, and I showed him, and the same was in the beginning with God, he had no idea that Jesus Christ was the creator. Now, he had been going to this for a long time, had no idea, okay? And so when I showed him, he says, well, how could he have been the creator? He wasn't even born until 2,000 years ago. I said, no, see, this is what you misunderstand altogether, okay?
Yeah.
I talked to him about what a Christophany is and a theophany. And when we were finished, he said, you know what? I've learned more in 1 hour here than I have in all the time I've gone to school here. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, and all things were made by him that were, and without him was not anything made that was made. Okay. So here people are going to say, well, you mean to tell me that he made Cadillacs? No, he didn't make Cadillacs. When he's talking about all things, but what did he make? In a sense, he did make Cadillac because every bit of material that were used to make Cadillacs, God provided. You know, all the minerals, all the things like that. And not only did he do that, but he provided the man to manufacture.
With the intellect and intuition to be able to build and do different things. Yeah.
Apart from God, would we have Cadillacs?
No, absolutely not.
There you go. And so
We'd all be stuck with Volkswagens.
Yeah. And so in him was life. Here you go. And the life was the light of men.
Mm-hmm.
So here when he says in him was life, here we all exist. We live by him. When he says in him was life, here we are held together by the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything, we are totally sustained. Every heartbeat, every little electrical impulse that goes through our nervous system is provided by God, isn't it?
That's
right.
Okay. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So what is the darkness here?
Satan's world, the unbelief.
Right, this whole new world system, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
Mm-hmm.
So John made it very clear. He was prophesied many, many years before He was born, that he would come and he would be the one that would announce the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it today that, I know it was Louis Farrakhan. First he was the Messiah, then he came to announce, he was the one to announce the Messiah when he announced Barack Obama as the Messiah.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, could this possibly be happening, you know? That was the true light, which lighteth every man that come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. he came unto his own, but his own received him not. That is an amazing passage of Scripture
right there.
And think about that. He made the world. He created a world.
Yep.
I mean, again, just for us to try to wrap our brains around speaking the universe into existence, again, trying to wrap your brain around unlimited power, you know.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Well, I think the more you try to concentrate on it and use the Scriptures, that's the more amazing, but it's also the more that we really can't understand that totally, you know. And that's why, you know, I think God brought Jesus for that reason. We can understand a man God, and we can understand the things that he could do, but God Almighty, the Father, it's, you know, and the combination, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the complete Godhead, it's just hard for us to grasp.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, in your opinion, because the Bible doesn't actually speak directly to this, but we're going to have all of eternity now once we get our glorified bodies, okay, we will become like the image of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, more Christ-like, and then our intelligence is going to be increased greatly, okay? And so are we ever going to get to the point where we understand, do you think, because we'll have all of eternity to get to that point, that we actually understand just how God did this with time and space, dimensions, and all of this throughout history? Will we be able to really start to grasp that?
I think we'll understand a little bit more, but I don't think we'll ever grasp the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. I just think that there are some things that God has just reserved to himself.
Well, yeah, if you think about being in the presence of God, the awesomeness and the power that he shows, even with the resurrected bodies, even with the, I don't think we're going to be we're going to be in awe of it, but I don't think we'll ever understand it the way God is.
Yeah. Right. Now, there was someone who thought they could.
Right.
Because we're looking to be conformed to the image of Christ, but Lucifer thought he had it all wrapped up, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And but he learned about the art of rope-a-dope, huh? He found out he didn't have it all right.
Yeah.
Right. He said he was going to replace the Creator, and how's that working out for him? Not too well, huh?
Not too well throughout the whole
him
Bible.
And a third of those angels.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
But we haven't heard the last of them. There's some very serious times coming in this world yet. And that's why it's so important for us to be the watchman on the wall and to warn people. That's why we've been here.
Mm-hmm.
All this time, and especially like today here, he goes on to say, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So here there are those that say, well, Jesus was the Son of God just like we are sons of God. But no, there's a difference. He was God the Son.
Mm-hmm.
We're the sons of God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. And here,
that's good.
Which were born not of the blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Today, I was talking to a young man, and we had a conversation, and I asked him, I said, well, listen, because we were talking about some things we needed to do, and I said, are you saved? He said, I don't know. He said, what do you mean? I said, if you died right now, would you go to heaven or hell? He said, well, I go to church. I've been going to church. I said, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, if you died right now, have you ever made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Right now, have you ever called upon him and said the sinner's prayer? He said, sinner's prayer? Oh, I know. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I said, no, that's not the sinner's prayer. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm talking about a prayer of repentance. He said, no, I never done that. I said, well, don't you think that you need to do that? Because right now, you're not saved. And if you died today, well, things won't end well for you at all. He said, well, how do you do that? And I said, just repeat after me. And I said, now first, I said, you realize what Christ did, that Christ took your place upon that cross in Calvary, right? Do you understand he died for you? He took your sins upon him, substitutionary death, and that he paid a debt he didn't owe for us that owed a debt we couldn't pay. He said, yeah, I understand that. And then he said the sinner's prayer. And when he was finished, I said, you just did the most important thing you'll ever do. You'll never do anything that matters and means as much to you as what you just did here. And I could tell he was pondering that. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Israel, rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Thou art my chosen, for I have called thee. Thou art graven on my hand, and I will gather all those who sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Out from the furnace, out of affliction, I have chosen thee, behold, and for your iron I'll give you silver, for your brass I'll give you gold. Awake, America, rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. Hosanna. From out of Zion comes your
All right, we're back, and folks, I just want to remind you one more time about our newsletter. Our newsletter, we send very, very interesting articles and facts, things that the opposition doesn't want you to know, but you have it in your hand, because I know that all of us out there, we're living in a world where, as the Lord Jesus said, I came not to to bring peace, but to bring a sword, father against mother or son. And that's simply, he's just simply those saying that those that would receive him versus those that would reject him. And our job, number one, mission one, is to reach as many as we can with the gospel. And the hardest people to reach are your relatives and friends sometimes. And so that's why the newsletter is so important. So when you tell them, you have the documentation in your hand and you can show them. And boy, I'm going to tell you, did that work very well when it comes to that COVID out there? We got so many letters back from people saying, if it hadn't been for you, I'd ended up with that. I would have taken a shot. And so we warned people from the very beginning about that. And here, there's the newsletter is easy to get. Just go up on our website, wrwl.org, and or just write us a letter. Just drop us a letter and just say, or call 440-338-1367. I got it. There you go. 440-338-1367. And very, very clearly, leave your name, your address, your zip code, and your phone number in case we get it right, so we can make sure we got everything right. So, anyhow, ninth scientist linked to U.S. secrets confirmed dead. We talked about this about a week or so ago. You had all these people involved in this this operation where they were looking into these UFOs and these aliens, and we had that congressman who, I'm going to tell you, he really had a lot to say. He dropped a dime big time. There's things happening in our government that shouldn't be happening. And anyhow, under highly suspicious circumstances, disturbing pattern of deaths and disappearance among U.S. space program experts raises alarming questions. Troubling patterns once again drawing renewed scrutiny after the death of yet another scientist tied to America's sensitive space and defense programs. Michael David Hicks, a longtime research scientist at NASA's prestigious Jet Propulsion Laboratory, died on July 30th, 2023, at just 59 years old, according to the Daily Mail. But nearly 3 years later, basic questions surrounding his death remain unanswered. According to available records, the cause of Hicks' death was never been disclosed. Even more alarming, there appears to be no publicity available recording indicating that an autopsy was ever conducted. Hicks, who worked at the JPL from 1998 to 2022, was credited with publishing over 80 scientific papers and was part of a multiple teams helping NASA understand the physical properties of comets and asteroids. Specifically, Hicks was involved with the DART project, NASA's test to see if humans could deflect dangerous asteroids away from Earth. He also worked on the Deep Space One mission, which tested new spacecraft technology that flew by comet in 2001. While there had been no public allegations of foul play, Hicks' case marks the ninth person with ties to American space or nuclear secrets who has died mysteriously, vanished in recent years, which set off an alarm bells among U.S. national security experts. Moreover, three of these scientists had close ties to Hicks, and all of them worked at the Jet Propulsion Lab or participated in NASA missions here. Monica Hariza, JPL's new director of Materials Processing Group, vanished without a trace on June 2025, just months after her tenure at the NASA lab. Two other men with deep ties to JPL died recently, including a longtime co-worker of Hicks, Frank Maywald, who died July 2024, at the age of 61, with even less public acknowledgement of his untimely passing. Meanwhile, astrophysicist Carl Grillmeyer, 67, was murdered on the front porch of his home on February 16, 2026. The California Institute of Technology researchers' work was heavily supported by NASA's JPL, and Gilmore was personally involved with major space telescope missions led by NASA. Los Alamos National Laboratory personnel like Anthony Chavez and Melissa Casillas, who vanished in 2025 under bizarre circumstances, their phones were wiped clean, their wallets and keys left behind, and their cars were abandoned. MIT plasma physicist Nuno Loureiro, assassinated at his home while working on a revolutionary nuclear fission breakthrough. Retired Air Force Major General William Neal McCaslin, who commanded key research labs, tried to advance missiles and rocket programs, long rumored to have UFO-related knowledge, who walked out of his Albuquerque home on February 2026 with only a handgun and was never seen again. Former FBI Assistant Director Chris Swicker has warned that foreign adversaries like Communist China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea have been aggressively targeting Americans with access to this exact kind of classified technology for decades. I kind of have a tendency to think it would be more the NSA or the CIA. Is this a string of unbelievable coincidences or something far more sinister at play? Are our enemies picking off America's best minds to steal or suppress critical U.S. technology advances? Or, as many at the UAP community have long suspected, is there a coordinated effort by deep state insiders to silence those who know too much about non-human intelligence? That's what that congressman was trying to tell us about a week or so ago when we played that clip. It was a very powerful clip. And reverse engineered technology and real secrets our government has long been hiding from the American people for generations. So I'm going to stop right there. Richard, you have an article.
Yeah, that's kind of fascinating with these scientists, though. I hadn't heard anything about that before. So.
Oh, yeah, we play. I wonder if we still have that clip. I don't know if we do. If I can find that clip, we'll play it again. It's very powerful. What do you think? Do we still have that clip? Oh, okay. But go ahead, Richard.
Okay, this is an article from the Gateway Pundit. It says DOJ launches investigation into January 6th star witness Cassidy Hutcherson. The Justice Department Civil Rights Division has launched an investigation into January 6th star witness, Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division, Harmeet Hillon, is spearheading the investigation. The investigation into Ms. Hutcherson began some weeks ago after the Justice Department received a referral from the Trump ally in Congress who accused Hutcherson of lying to the special House committee that investigates the events of January 6th. During exposure, televised testimony of June 20th, 2022, Ms. Hutcherson, now 29, said that Mr. Trump had encouraged the crowd that gathered to hear him speak near the White House on January 6th to march to the Capitol, even though he knew it was armed and could turn violent. That's quoting the New York Times reporter. It says Cassidy Hutcherson testified in 2022 that Trump got into the beast after his speech at the Ellipse in January 6th with the belief that he would be driven to the Capitol. According to Hitcherson, he received this information by Tony Ornato, the assistant director of the Secret Service. Trump grew angry after he was informed that he was being driven back to the West Wing. According to Ornato, Trump shouted, "I am the president. Take me to the Capitol now." Hitcherson alleged that at this point, Trump reached up to the driver, grabbed the steering wheel, and tried to commandeer the presidential limo. Hitcherson then claims Secret Service agent Bobby Engel grabbed Trump's arm and took his hand off the steering wheel. Of course, this is all a lie. The House Oversight Committee head later found that unrelated testimony by four White House employees present the Trump January 6, 2021 speech at the Ellipse directly contradicts claims made by Cassidy Hitcherson. She made it all up. The woman should be hauled into court. Later report found that Liz Cheney coached Hitcherson before the testimony. The Gateway pundit completed a list of Cassidy Hitcherson's 9 confirmed lies from her debunked congressional testimony.
Well, yeah, what happened, if you remember, the Secret Service agents, both of those, said that was a bunch of bull. None of that ever happened.
Yeah.
And here, Trump did say, they didn't want to put him in danger.
Yeah.
By taking him down there. They were obviously, they kind of knew that the Bidens and the FBI and all that were, you know, what they were planning on.
Well, also, if you think about the layout of a limo, and especially the beast, you know, the one that the president is driven around, how could he ever get to the driver anyway?
Yeah.
Grabbing the steering wheel. I mean, you're in a limo. You can't just get to a driver.
No, he's in the back seat.
Yeah.
And so, that, of course, you know, like I said, the Secret Service said that's a bunch of bull. None of that ever happened.
Right.
Okay. But, again, that whole thing. Here, the other thing about that, too. Now, we watched Trump. We were listening to Trump when he was telling people very peacefully march down there. He said that several times peacefully. Then you watch the same clip. They edited it on NBC, AB. All of them took out that part about being very peaceful. They marched down there, okay? And so, again, they got no decency, just no integrity at all.
Oh.
All right. Randy's got an article.
Yeah. Democrat GA House candidate floats idea to punish MAGA for voting for President Trump. It says Democrat Susanna who is running for the Georgia House of Representatives, has floated an idea to punish MAGA. Keratisos, hope I'm saying it right, shared a video suggesting banning internet access for those who voted for Donald Trump. When this is all over and Trump's gone, the Democrats are back in charge and we're rebuilding everything, she said in the now deleted TikTok video posted in January. The punishment for MAGA for voting for Trump 3 times needs to be that they remove their internet access for 4 years. So much for the First Amendment. That they cannot post videos or comments on social media for 4 straight years, so that none of us are subjected to their lies and misinformation while we are rebuilding the chaos. It should stop there, but it says the chaos that they cause, the whole world and America gets to be without their BS online for four straight years. It says, as is typical, when Democrats say the quiet part out loud and don't have the self-awareness to realize how authoritarian they sound, Suzanne claims that her video was a joke because it is hilarious to parrot the language used by dictators to silence the opposition. Social media user slam Suzanne with one noting, the party that screams no kings and free speech wants to silence yours. Another points out that Suzanne is running in the same district where Laken Riley was brutally murdered by an illegal, and she wants to silence those still in mourning.
Well, you know, it's that, first of all, I got to say this. This woman is a dingbat, right?
Yes.
This woman, you know, one of the things, this is why they got their polls so wrong, because when all the pollsters were calling people and asking, are you going to vote Republican or Democrat, the Republicans wouldn't answer. A lot of them, they wouldn't say, because, you know, you don't know, the Democrats are crazy. You know, you might get a firebomb thrown through the window if they're going to say, I'm going to be. And so they didn't answer. So they really had no idea. They got a very rude awakening when the election took place, okay, when Trump said it's got to be too big to rig. It was way too big, okay. Mm-hmm. And actually it was, too, in 2020. But, you know, they have, like my next article, I'll be talking about that. Millions of illegal ballots, you know. Mm. I think there in Atlanta it was like 350 that they counted, 1,000 that they counted that weren't signed, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, a ballot that wasn't signed. They got so many of these things that take place out there. But see, here's the idea, first of all, how is she going to know who voted Republican if you voted Republican or Democrat? You don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're not supposed to know that.
Right.
No, but okay. Yeah, they're not supposed to know that, no. I think with us, it might be obvious, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't try to hide it, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
We would be ashamed to vote as Democrats, wouldn't we?
Yes.
Right. Any good, decent people would be ashamed to vote as Democrats, okay. Yeah. Even if they had, like, really long hair. Anyhow, so... So that was really a dumb article. Little Lisa, you've got yourself an article.
Okay, this is from the Daily Signal. Even after a decisive Supreme Court ruling on free speech and gender counseling, more such cases could be on the way as state and local governments across the country have bans of some sort on reparative therapy. The Supreme Court recently ruled 8-1 against Colorado's law that required counseling to conform to gender ideology. Some counselors use reparative therapy to help clients navigate unwanted same-sex attraction and gender dysphoria rather than affirm the inclinations, but Colorado's law prohibited this method. 24 states and dozens more local governments have restrictions on this type of counseling. It's not clear whether they will now comply with the court's ruling, said David Pickup, a psychologist who was the first plaintiff to challenge a ban on reparative therapy in California. Quote, it was definitely shocking in a positive way to see an 8-1 ruling in the Supreme Court, which shows justices across the ideological spectrum see the fallacy of blocking speech, Pickup told the Daily Signal.
All right. In Colorado, they're attempting to take stupidity to a new level.
Yes.
Their Supreme Court decided that they were going to take Trump off the ballot in California,
mm-hmm.
or in Colorado. And a lot of the people in Colorado thought, you know, that's not your decision. You don't decide who I can vote for.
Right.
Okay? But those judges said, you don't understand. That's the way we Democrats do things. We do things that way, okay? You've seen what they've done with the pro-lifers, the patriots out there. It's like they're trying to, again, take stupidity to a new level. the bias against Christians, against God and Christianity in Colorado is really getting worse and worse all the time.
Yes, it is.
And so Arizona Senate President Warren Peterson refers Democrats, A.G. Chris Mayers, and the Secretary of State, Adrian Fontes, to the DOJ for criminal witness, tampering, and obstruction of justice in explosive 2020 election investigation. Arizona State Senate President Warren Peterson has officially referred Attorney General Chris Mayers and Secretary of State Adrian Fontes to the U.S. Department of Justice for criminal obstruction of justice and witness tampering directly tied to the Trump administration's ongoing criminal investigation into the 2020 presidential election. Peterson dropped the hammer on Tuesday, announcing on X that he had sent a formal criminal referral to the U.S. Attorney for Arizona after Mays and Fontes, after the two sent threatening letters demanding details on what records Peterson turned over to federal investigators pursuant to a grand jury. I mean, these people don't stop. They're threatening this guy. Mm-hmm. He goes on, the probe reportedly involves allegations from the 2024 election that Runbeck's Election Services, the private company that provided ballot printing and mail-in ballot services in 31 states and 54% of the nation's voters, allegedly commingled voted ballots with blank ballots in multiple states. U.S. Rep. Ab Harmada previously alerted the Department of Justice to these findings and demanded an investigation. We just reported last week about for the 2020 election, a woman had come forward. They tried to keep her quiet. She was a poll worker. She worked at the polls in the Board of Elections, and she had found behind the building there was a big truck that was shredding ballots. They were shredding Republican ballots. By boxes and boxes of the ballots were being shredded. And when she went and she confronted them, they said, "We're a family-owned business. Look, we were just told, they didn't tell us what to shred. We just hand what they're handing us, we shredded. We didn't look and see whose ballots they were or even if they're ballots, but those were Republican ballots that they were shredding. Thousands of them, thousands and thousands, okay. But it's like Democrats think that, well, we are Democrats, so it's only fair that we're allowed to do this, you know? I mean, yeah, and they think this, okay? It's like this thing with Somalians, which took place there in Minnesota. They said that that's been a part of our culture for years, you know? Cheating, stealing. Stealing's a part of the culture. And the Democrats are that way. It's like...
Well, don't bring it to our country.
Well, they're here, and the Democrats believe that election fraud is a part of their culture. I'm going to have to work. Yeah, it is. Okay, warning county officials not to comply with federal subpoenas, suggesting that turning over voter data could be illegal and potentially discouraging cooperation with the federal investigators. Today, I referred Chris Mayers and Adrian Fontes to the Department of Justice for obstruction of justice and tampering with witnesses. It's disturbing to see their resistance to an election integrity investigation. We're going to stop there because we're coming up to a break, but I think I should finish this on the other side. So this is important. More and more election fraud. Every week we come up with more of it. Be right back with more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.